Thursday, and welcome to today's edition of the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm your host, Lori Boyer. On today's episode, Taylor Charlstrom has a report from Madera and Merced County's newest orchard advisor, Cameron Zuber, who shares his experiences with growers thus far. And I'll have regional and national agricultural news, and I'll begin with regional ag news right after this word from our sponsor.
There's giant potential sleeping in your soil. Under drought conditions, it's never been more important to wake it up. Phycoterra, a superior soil microbial food, activates the native microbes responsible for your soil's health and water-holding capacity. Adding Phycoterra to your crop increases water retention up to 10% and optimizes crop nutrient availability. Plus, it delivers excellent mixability and application flexibility, making it easy to add to your existing crop input strategy. Visit phycoterra.com to learn how you can wake up your soil's giant potential with Phycoterra.
According to the USDA National Agricultural Statistics Service in a California Crop Progress and Condition Report, average lows for California ranged from 36 to 66 degrees in the mountains last week, 45 to 85 in the desert, 46 to 69 along the coast, and 53 to 72 in the Central Valley. Average highs for the state ranged from 47 to 97 in the mountains, 64 to 97 along the coast, 68 to 98 in the Central Valley, and 80 to 108 in the desert. In the fruit crops, some older stone fruits were pushed out while others continue to be harvested. Peach, prune, nectarine, pear, quince, pomegranate, and plum harvest continued. Wine grape harvest continued and raisin grape harvest began. Persimmons and kiwi fruits development was ongoing. Lemon harvest began. Irrigation continued in citrus groves to prevent the fruit drop due to heat stress. Olive harvest continued as well. Strawberry fields were treated in preparation for fall planting. In a nut crop, spraying for weeds continued where necessary. Almond, walnut, and pistachio harvests continued. Some almond orchards were pushed out to make way for new plantings. And in the vegetable crops, tomatoes, eggplant, peppers, pumpkins, and Brussels sprouts were harvested in San Mateo County. All field work paused due to the rain in the Sacramento Valley. Harvest and fall field preparation paused due to rainfall. Drip tape removal progressed while fall carrots emerged in Fresno County. Stanislaus County tomatoes and sweet potato harvest continued. In Tulare County, fields were disked for fall and winter vegetable plantings. Onions, squash, zucchini, and eggplant were all harvested. The California Department of Food and Agriculture has the 2023 Noxious Weed Grant Program available and will award grants to eligible applicants within the state of California for the implementation of an integrated weed management plan. CDFA will fund one grant proposal per county and a maximum award amount of up to $42,421 per county. An award maximum amount has been included to ensure encumbrance of funds in a variety of geographic locations that will result in quantifiable accomplishments. To be eligible, applicants must be a county agricultural commissioner. The project site must be located within the state of California. Applicants must reflect work pertaining to the implementation of controlling and/or mapping of noxious and invasive weed populations as defined in the Food and Agriculture Code. In addition to plants on the Section 4500 noxious weed list, allowable targeted species would include CDFA A and Q rated, as well as regionally important B-rated weeds. Applicants are encouraged to identify collaboration among organizations through a weed management area or similar partnership. Cost share is strongly encouraged. The project is 24 months and grant funds cannot be expended before July 1st of 2023 or after June 30th of 2025. CDFA may offer an award different than the amount requested. Program goals include but are not limited to the following: increase the profitability and value of cropland and rangeland, decrease the cost of roadside, park, and waterway maintenance, reduce the fire hazard and fire control costs in the state, protect the biodiversity of native ecosystems, maintain the recreational and aesthetic value of open space, recreational and public areas, and increase supply and flow. The applicant must describe weed species and areas to be controlled, mapped, and why they were selected. Describe how control and mapping will be performed. The contractor consultant fees are limited to labor to install the project. Consultant fees are for a specific and identifiable service that is directly related to project implementation. Compensation for individual contractor consultant fees must be reasonable and consistent with fees in the marketplace for the same or similar services. For more information, contact the California Department of Food and Agriculture. Grub Market has announced it has completed the acquisition of Vernon, California-based JC Produce, a highly respected fresh produce company that sources the highest quality fruits and vegetables globally with a focus on South America and Asia. JC Produce sells to hundreds of retail, food service, and wholesale customers across the U.S. and has a strong reputation as a leader in food safety practices. Founded 10 years ago, JC Produce is still run by original owner Jackie Chan, who is a 17-year veteran of the fresh produce space. Today, JC Produce is a full-service food distribution and wholesale business with warehouse facilities covering nearly 40,000 square feet in space. Though they sell over 30 SKUs, including exotic fruits like cherries, lychees, longan, and dragon fruit, JC Produce is predominantly known as a top purveyor of ginger and garlic. In addition, JC Produce is committed to maintaining the highest food safety standards, having received the Premise GFC certification with a near-perfect audit score of 99%. After the acquisition, the business will continue to be managed by its current experienced, mission-driven leadership team. Lemon supplies for North America are transitioning from the influence of South American imports back to sourcing from the U.S. and Mexico. Overall, the lemon supply is getting tighter, particularly on larger sizes. It will continue this way until District 3 gets into more picking and production, according to John Carter of Lemonaria. For the start of the 2023 season, it appears the transition will be more traditional as there will be less imported fruit this summer, he says. And as the U.S. season starts, they are also seeing significantly less delayed final import arrivals compared to last year caused by the COVID-related supply chain issues. He notes that along with less volume from both Chile and Argentina, Mexican lemons have been challenged with low rain and sizing. However, Mexico has had rainfall here recently. Additionally, South Africa we'll have some arrivals coming into Canada. In California District 2, the current 2022 season is winding down with limited larger sizes available. The 2022 crop, as forecasted, was bigger than the previous year. In California District 3, it is slowly getting started with production. Indicators are that the crop is similar in volume to last year with good sizing due in part to monsoon activity, according to Carter. This same activity has also brought wind, which can impact grading, so they will look out for that as the season progresses. And California District 1 begins early to mid-October, and at this point, fruit size looks smaller, according to Carter. Sizing in District 1 depends on the timing and quantity of rain over the next several months. Overall, D1 is expected to be down 10% to 15% from what was a large crop this past year. As for demand, it looks encouraging. Food service demand is returning to pre-COVID levels, and export market demand has also been improving.
Do you know the nutrient use efficiency people? Yes, I'm talking about the folks at Verdesian Life Sciences that deliver crop insights and solutions so California crops grow to their full potential. From micros with a proprietary delivery system to solutions that help improve the uptake and assimilation of applied nutrients. Visit VLSCI.com to learn more about Verdesian Solutions or to connect with a local representative right here in California.
The My Ag Life Daily News Report continues now with a feature report from Taylor Chalstrom.
Merced and Madera counties recently expanded their cooperative extension resources and hired a new orchard systems advisor. The hiring of Cameron Zuber, who's been involved with Extension since 2016, comes at a time of many Extension hirings for the state after a recent round of funding that addressed the shortages and decline that Extension has seen across the state for its employees in recent years. For Merced County, Zuber will cover orchard crops such as stone fruit, walnuts, and almonds, not including pistachios and figs. And for Madera County, he will work with walnuts. Although he's only been on the job for a few months, Zuber has had many issues thrown at him, including some of the most concerning for growers today.
Other than just the generalized production and management, pest management, just like weird things that come up that I help deal with, the broader strokes concern seems to be more about water and that might just be due to some concerns as it relates to Sigma and just other drought related items. And it's not just the amount of water, but also the water quality. So there are certain areas of the county that deal with less ideal water situations as it pertains to some of the crops I work on. So it's both an amount of water that they can have and how much they can use and how to effectively use that, but also the quality of that water and certain management that would be attributed to that. And I'm speaking generally because what specifically is an issue with water quality or water use is highly dependent on a person's situation. So it's just a matter of addressing that. And I'm trying to understand and dial in as it pertains to that. But again, there's also the basic stuff like new varieties, new rootstocks. Salinity has been something that's been brought up. There's these newer kind of like soil health practices that are being mentioned. So a lot of different stuff, but water always is the first thing most people say.
As far as water quality issues are concerned, something that comes up often for growers in Merced and Madera counties, Supersetti hears a lot from growers about salinity levels and resulting impacts on irrigation water.
It's both a function of the water having those qualities, but also the soil being able to hold that and just building up in the soil and how water can be used to deal with that. There's also some concerns with certain lacks in micronutrients, also pH creating alkaline conditions, which can create micronutrient issues. So those are the most specific ones that I've been told, but again, I'm still speaking to growers and seeing how much of an issue it is for everyone. I'm kind of in an odd situation where right now I'm exposed to people who are contacting me, and typically they're contacting me because they're dealing with a very unique problem. So I'm trying to actually get more of a broader idea from everyone, not just people who really need my help right now with a specific problem. So that's a part of it. And there's, you know, luckily fall and winter is when a lot of growers get together, and I'm trying to reach out to them and just have a conversation beyond just like trying to fix their problem and how that relates to like maybe an issue they have.
Overall, Zuber is enjoying his new position as Orchard Systems Advisor and finds the job fulfilling, noting that for him, it's really all about personalized service to each and every grower he speaks with.
This job and my prior ones have been very much tailored toward servicing a public need, but balancing that within the realities of how the system is actually working, both biologically and regulations and all the economically and all the other things. So I've always been happy when I'm trying to find practical solutions to problems. And I feel this position would allow me to do that within agriculture and within the bounds of what I'm doing. So yes, it's been very fulfilling. I also like talking to people. So it's interesting to hear their stories if they're willing to share it and their perspectives. And it helps me understand it as well as just enjoying that conversation in general. So yes, it's been very fulfilling, although I've been very busy. So it's a management of the workload, but that just comes with the job.
You're listening to My Ag Life. I'm Taylor Chalstrom.
JCS Marketing is your number one way to connect with the ag industry. Through print magazines, digital media, podcasts, and live and virtual events, JCS Marketing has the reach to inform, educate, and influence growers in the Western United States.
Everywhere you go, you see West Coast Nut Magazine on every one of my customers' tables. So that tells you everything. It's there, so they're reading it.
Our My Ag Life platform includes podcast interviews and digital articles for busy professionals on the go. Our live events, continuing education webinars, and virtual conferences help growers connect with leading researchers and industry leaders. Let JCS Marketing help you connect.
In national agricultural news, USDA's Economic Research Service has reported insured acres of specialty crops vary widely across specific crop types. USDA's Risk Management Agency offers federal crop insurance program products to cover specialty crops in counties with enough data available to offer a sound insurance product. Using cherries as an example, crop insurance is available for cherry growers who operate in counties with a high number of cherry acres. Because of this, farmers used federal crop insurance to cover about 65% of all cherry acres. Cherry growers outside of those counties use the USDA Farm Non-Insured Crop Disaster Assistance Program to cover about 20% of all cherry acres, leaving only 15% of acres not covered by any risk management program. For some crops, however, federal risk management programs covered only a small portion of acres. Kiwi fruits and strawberries, for example, had less than 15% of acres covered, while hazelnuts had less than 1%. The Association of Equipment Manufacturers has reported a record attendance for its Washington, D.C. fly-in last week. Representing equipment manufacturers and suppliers from across the country, participants met with 70 lawmakers. The group advocated for pro-manufacturing policies that will help equipment manufacturers succeed in the United States and around the world. AEM's Kip Eidenberg says as Congress continues its legislative business through the end of the year, they will continue to remind lawmakers that they need to reach across the aisle and work to move the country forward. AEM members advocated for domestic supply chain investments, precision agriculture incentives to support climate smart practices, and a grant program that supports workforce development. AEM says tariffs continue to hurt the equipment manufacturing industry, and they asked lawmakers to establish a permanent Section 301 tariff exclusion process so American manufacturers can petition the Office of the U.S. Trade Representative to remove tariffs needed for domestic manufacturing and the national economy. Officials from the United States, Mexico, and Canada met last week as part of the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreements Environment Committee. The committee was established as part of the USMCA to oversee the environment chapter's implementation and provide a forum to discuss and review chapter implementation. At the meeting, the officials discussed progress and challenges faced in implementing the environmental obligations since the agreement's entry into force in 2020. The committee also discussed follow-up items from the first committee meeting, including the findings of a mapping exercise to identify gaps and opportunities for trilateral collaboration for implementing Chapter 24 commitments, recognizing the need to ensure complementary and avoid duplication with efforts already underway by the Commission for Environmental Cooperation. In addition, the committee held a public session to share information and hear from stakeholders from Canada, Mexico, and the United States regarding the implementation of Chapter 24. The conflict in Ukraine is increasing the nation's awareness of the importance of food security and farm policy, according to a senior USDA official, USDA Ag News reporter Rod Bain.
Recent headlines about Ukraine, such as this one,
"Wheat prices hit the front page of the New York Times,"
has raised awareness of how conflict in that nation does or could impact both global and U.S. food supplies and policies, according to Agriculture Undersecretary for Farm Production and Conservation, Robert Bonney.
"I think more of the American public understands the vital importance, the strategic importance of having a robust agricultural industry here at home."
The undersecretary, speaking to National Farmers Union members in Washington, D.C. recently, says commodity and input price increases associated with the conflict in Ukraine is playing a role in dialogue about ag in our country.
"Domestically, as we think about the upcoming farm bill, the importance of a safety net and the importance of all the things that the farm bill does for agriculture, for rural America, for all Americans."
For instance, factoring in input cost and farm safety net programs, which currently only exist within the dairy margin coverage program. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
Modernized rules on the Endangered Species Act are officially reinstated after an appeals court decision. Farm News reporter Chad Smith has more on the good news for farmers and ranchers.
The Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals ruled that a district court improperly vacated 2019 revisions of the Endangered Species Act. The appeals court says the lower court erred by reversing the regulations without considering whether they were lawful. Travis Cushman, Deputy General Counsel for Litigation and Public Policy with the American Farm Bureau Federation, talks about the decision.
"There was a challenge against a modernized regulation that AFBF had helped to get through. It was challenged and a lower court recently vacated it. AFBF appealed and we just want the Ninth Circuit. The Ninth Circuit agreed with us that the lower court incorrectly vacated the decision."
He talks about how important this decision is for U.S. farmers and ranchers.
"There's two reasons. One, it reinstates an important and modernized Endangered Species Act that we think is much, much better to protect native species, but also to ensure that farmers and ranchers are able to do their work. Second, it creates much, much better precedent that forces federal courts to actually do the job of looking at the law before they decide to get rid of it. This is a problem that we've faced many times where groups decide they don't like the rules that we get done, go to certain courts and get the rules kicked out without the court ever actually looking at the rule and saying, is this rule lawful or not?"
However, Cushman says the process isn't over yet.
"There's going to be two options. The court can either now send this back to the agencies to work on, which we think is the appropriate action, or alternatively, the court might try to fix the problem it done in the first place by looking at the rule itself itself. Hopefully the court will do the right thing and keep the rule in place for the time being.
Chad Smith, Washington.
Sponsored by the California Walnut Board and Commission, supporting the industry with on-farm innovation through production research, advocacy for government programs, and driving consumer demand. Doing more together.
That will wrap up today's show. You've been listening to the My Ag Life Daily News Report. I'm Lori Boyer. From all of us here at the JCS Marketing Team, thank you for listening.